What a wonderful drama. Moving. That was incredible. Written by Pastor Mike. You should all be aware of that. My name's Jude St. John. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the apprentice pastor here, and it's a wonderful privilege for me to be up here on an Easter morning to celebrate this day of all days for believers in the year that we celebrate it. I am going to quickly review that drama because it was powerful, and I based what I had to say this morning around that. And so if you'll recall with me in scene one, we have a young woman who gets a job offer. It's an opportunity that presents really the best of what the world has to offer. There's more money, a nicer vehicle, a bigger home that can be bought. There is prestige among peers. I mean, really an opportunity to get a step up in the world, to move ahead in the world. And it's important to note this isn't necessarily a bad choice. It's not necessarily a bad choice, and yet what is being offered is the world. In scene two, we see a woman who's a little bit older now, who has been successful at her job, and now she has the opportunity to pursue an ill-advised relationship. Should she acquiesce to accept the advances of a married man? She thinks it offers companionship and love and fulfillment. In reality, we know that sin will leave her dissatisfied and hurting. Sin promises much, but it always disappoints. Clearly, this was a bad choice, one which she definitely shouldn't have made. And finally, in scene three, we have a more mature woman confronted now with goodness personified, with a person. She is considering Jesus Christ and what he means to her life. And despite evil, despite the devil trying to dissuade her, the ultimate question of life, that is, what will you do with Jesus? She chooses salvation in the Son of God. And so we see in these three scenes really what boils down to what our life is about. All of these issues, whether they be the world or sin or good and evil, they really boil down to life or death. This is a conflict that is life or death. The temptations of this world, the desire for sin, and the struggle for evil all can be considered a conflict of life versus death. Now consider this, despite the allure of worldly success, of everything the world has to offer, the Bible makes it clear that this is a futile endeavor that ends in death. In 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17, John writes, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh and the desire of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever." What this world has to offer is dying and will end in death. And then, despite the appeal of sin and its many forms, sin always leads to death. Romans 6:23 tells us, "The wages of sin is death." And despite our desire to ignore evil, or maybe even deny its personal, real existence, there is a real adversary that is opposing all mankind. The Bible names him Apollyon, the destroyer. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So whether we talk about this world or sin or real personal evil, this is a life and death conflict. Now, I recently had the privilege of attending a reunion with a football team that I played with in 1994. And at that reunion, I was reminded of a story. It's a story that happened in the semifinals to the national championship. It was called the Churchill Bowl. We were playing in Quebec, and this was our chance to get to the national championship. And we were down at halftime. We were down by 3 touchdowns. And I remember our star offensive player came into the dressing room late, and he was furious. And he got in the center of the room, and he said, "Nobody sings the goodbye song to us." We all sort of look at him, and then it came clear to us. You know the goodbye song? Na 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 na, na 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 na, hey, hey, hey. Good. You Leaf fans will be familiar with it. I say that as a Leaf fan. But at halftime in this game, the fans for the opposing team were singing the goodbye song to us. And he came in and he said, "No one sings the goodbye song to us." Now you can imagine what we would be thinking as football players. If the coaches came into this locker room and they said, "We've got a plan to pull this one out." And you should know we did pull it out. But if the coaches came in and said, "We've got a plan on how we can win this game," and we all listened and they said, "Here's what we're going to do. We're going to lose the game." Wait a minute. You're telling us to win this game, we have to lose this game. Yep, that's our plan. This is craziness. A coach would never say that. Can you imagine in the business world if your company, the people you were working for, were vying for a contract, and they said, "If we really want this contract, if we want to win this job, let's lose it." Hold on a minute. That's not going to work. Or even if, as a parent, you wanted to be a successful parent, and you went to a parenting seminar, and they told you, "The best way to be a good parent is to be a bad parent." I mean, this is crazy. This is the opposite of what we expect. You know, my kids play this game, particularly when they get together with their cousins, called Opposite Day. I know some of you are familiar, but this lets them say all sorts of crazy stuff. If they're playing Opposite Day, my son can look at his sister and say, "You're stupid," right? Because it's Opposite Day. That means she's smart. And she can reply back to him, "Yeah, well, you're ugly." And this is cool because it's Opposite Day. I remember one time, and this gets crazy. I remember one time they were playing Opposite Day. I'm in the kitchen preparing them lunch. They're all at the table. And one of my nephews yells, "Long live Satan." And I look at him and I'm like, "Caden." He says, "Opposite Day." Well, this is what telling a football team to win, they must lose, would be like. Are we playing Opposite Day now? This is craziness. But you have to understand that as counterintuitive as this concept is, this is what we celebrate at Easter. This truth has been wonderfully articulated by Puritan theologian John Owen in the title of a book. He wrote a book called The Death of Death in the Death of Christ. Jesus understood that in this life versus death battle that we have considered this morning, that death would be defeated by letting death win, by dying. In his death, as we've talked about, and considered the past 2 weeks, this weekend, Jesus would pay the penalty that our sin deserved. He would ransom our lives, freeing us from the power of sin, which is death, from the futility of living a life that always ends in death, from the tyranny of evil powers that want to see us die. You see, Christ destroyed death. He killed death in his own dying. But here's the thing. This victory that Christ won by losing, it's a two-sided coin. And on one side, we have the death of Christ and him defeating death by letting death win. But the other side of the coin tells us that the defeat of death is also the victory of life. 2 Timothy 1:10, Paul talks about our salvation. He says, our salvation, which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's the other side of this coin. That's the other side of the coin of the death of Christ. That Jesus, in dying, in letting death win, secured victory for life. Theologian Leon Morris said, the cross is the victory. The resurrection is the triumph. The resurrection is the public display of the victory, the triumph of the crucified one. Jesus killed death in his dying, and his triumph is confirmed in his being raised from the dead. Now, here at West London Alliance, we believe certain things. We believe with good reason that Christ came back from the grave. And this wasn't some metaphorical coming back to life. We believe that physically, bodily, really, and truly, Jesus Christ came back from the dead. That's why we're here celebrating this morning. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4 said, Paul said, I have delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. This is what we are banking our lives on. This is what we hold to and we believe at West London Alliance. We believe he is risen. We believe right now the Son of God is alive. Believer, if you have put your faith in Christ, you have put your faith in life itself. Romans 6, verse 8 through 11 tells us, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Believer, this morning, consider yourself alive. Consider yourself alive. And for some of our blessed people here, some of our seniors, you may be sitting there in your body and saying, I'm not feeling that alive this morning, but consider yourself alive. Because when you die, it will be a brief nap and you'll be up again. And there's some of us here this morning who are younger, who feel like we're in great health and very well may not recognize that in some respects we are on death's door. Something going on inside of our body or something that will happen out there in a vehicle. We don't know. And yet if you have put your faith in Christ, you have put your faith in life itself. Consider yourself alive. If you're here this morning and you're not a believer, you're someone who hasn't put your faith in Christ, today we celebrate the work in history of Christ, the Son of God, who triumphed over death. He died for our sins. He provided an escape from the futility of life. He triumphed over evil. Romans 8:11 tells us, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. What we're talking about this morning is life and death. And I suggest to you, if you have not put your faith in Christ, that you consider this Easter to put your faith in the one who defeated death by dying and gave life victory by his resurrection. This Easter, we celebrate a risen Lord. He is the resurrection and the life. He offers life now and life everlasting. His death and resurrection defeated the power of death and sin, the inevitable death that living this world leads to, and the threat of death from any evil power. His death and resurrection promises life everlasting. I finished this morning with Jesus' words in John 11, verses 25 through 26. A promise to those who have put their faith in Christ, and a promise to those who would put their faith in Christ. John 11, 25 through 26. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. He ends that with a question. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? We are going to move now to perhaps one of the most beautiful demonstrations of this life and death battle as we watch and participate in some candidates getting baptized. This is a visual demonstration of Christ killing death by dying and then giving victory to life by coming back from the grave. And so we celebrate this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We are so grateful that you defeated death. You killed death by dying for our sins. But we are so excited this morning. We are so thrilled this morning that we can celebrate. Not only did you die for our sins, but you came back from the dead. That in your victory over death, you are the life. I pray, Father God, that you would help us by your Spirit to see this. I pray for those who have never seen this, that you would touch their hearts. Help them to get a clear vision of the glory of your Son, the defeater of death and the giver of life. And I pray, Lord, for these baptismal candidates, that this would be a blessed time for them in their walk with you, and that through their obedience, we would get a picture of your wonderful victory. In Jesus' name, amen.